9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. The text line is open, 580-225-9697. Text me in some rainfall amounts you got last night. I got 2 tenths at my house. Looks like over there around Eric and Sweetwater and stuff, they got pretty good rain, so please text me in. And I just don't trust what I'm seeing on the rainfall in the mezzanette. Doesn't look right for some reason on my chart here on the computer. Currently is 86 degrees. Heat index is 86. The winds are out of the east southeast at 7 miles an hour, with some gust up to 11-12 miles an hour. The humidity is at 40%. And I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you later on in the show. We have a 20% chance of storms again tonight. It's saying so. Man, there was a lot of lightning in that storm last night. But anyway, if you don't mind, text me in your rainfall amounts. I'd appreciate it. All kinds of things going on today. But first, I want to wish a little sweetheart of a girl a happy birthday. Kimber Thornbro, happy birthday to you. She is 1 year old. 1 year old today. She is 1 year old today. She is a sweetheart. You can see her at Southbound every now and then when her mom brings her in, Ashley. But anyway, happy birthday to her. I picked some roses off our rose bush this morning and put 3 of them in a jar that my wife gave me, and put a OU Sooner sticker on there for her, because her mom and dad are big OSU fans. So anyway, she's a sweetheart. You looking at her and her attitude, you will see her in the future in sports. She looks like she's going to be one great little athlete. So anyway, happy birthday, Kimber. Hope you have a good one. Well, let's check out some of the markets. Everything's in the red today. I think wheat's down the limit, but let's, let me refresh this to make sure everything's up to date. All right, looks like the only thing I'm seeing in the green right now is lean hogs. Live cattle, June 132, August 131.95, October 138, December 143.87, feeder cattle for May 156.20, August is 166.30. Lean hogs for June is 105.77. July 108.17. August for lean hogs is 107.37. Crude oil's even down, which is good, but it's still up there high. 110. Natural gas is up above $8. So there's nothing getting cheaper. Oh, there's one other item. I'm thinking of Bill Dance here over there in the Dale High area, that's in the green, and that's sugar. It's at 20 cents a pound. So there you go, Bill. Go buy you some sugar, because you definitely need it. Anyway, let's go over to the cash grain prices in Oklahoma. There we go. Wheat basically down the limit. Hard red winter wheat is at $12.51. Corn's at $8.09. Milo's at $7.67, and soybeans are $15.88 a bushel. All right, let's see what's causing all the uproar today for prices going down instead of up. You never know what's going on here. Last month or two, man, it just, they're always looking for an excuse for something. But wheat futures dropped overnight amid profit-taking after prices rebounded yesterday, and after India said it would relax an export ban that they implemented last week. Prices yesterday rose after being down in the overnight session, pushing futures up more than 8% in 2 days. After India on May 13th said it would ban wheat exports to ensure domestic supply. On Tuesday, the Indian government said it would allow some relaxation of the ban and honor contracts for wheat awaiting customs clearance. It's been decided that wherever wheat consignments have been handed over to customs for examination and have been registered in their systems on or prior to May 13th, such consignments will be allowed to expand, according to the India's Ministry of Commerce and Industry said in a statement yesterday. Ukraine's deputy economic chief reportedly said exporters have been making progress shipping wheat overland to the European Union, but sea access must be reestablished to avert food crises in some of those areas that they are shipping to. Investors are also watching the Kansas wheat curve, which I got a report out on that I'm going to read here after the first break, where crop scouts are checking on the hard red winter wheat crop in the U.S. Southern Plains. Yields in central and northwestern Kansas are forecast by participants in the tour at 39.5 bushels an acre. Well, anyway, drought conditions have hurt the hard red winter wheat crop this year. Little rain has fallen in parts of western Kansas, the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, and which includes western Oklahoma. In the past month, according to the National Weather Service precipitation page, wheat for May delivery plunged 30 and a quarter cents to $12.47 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures dropped 35 and a half cents to $13.32 a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery rose 5 3/4 cents to $16.83 a bushel. Soy meal added $2.20 to $414 a short ton, while soybean oil futures fell to 0.41 cents to 83.08 cents a pound. Corn futures were down a penny and a quarter to $7.99.5 a bushel. U.S. wheat prices may have plunged overnight, but the season average farm price for the 22-23 marketing year is forecast by the government to hit $10.75 a bushel due to the tight domestic inventories. Drought hurt stockpiles of hard red spring durum and white wheat in 21 and 22 marketing years on May 31st, resulting in the smallest U.S. crop in almost 20 years. Domestic production of wheat for the current marketing year is pegged at 1.65 billion bushels. That's down from 1.83 billion last year. Output might rise, according to the USDA, in the 22-23 year to 1.73 billion bushels. But for 2022-23, slightly larger productions is projected compared to the previous years, but this will still be the second lowest in the last 20 years. Wheat futures are up over 61% so far this year. The U.S. wheat growers are expected by the USDA to produce 1.17 billion bushels of wheat in winter wheat in the 22-23 marketing year. That's down 2.3% from last year. White winter wheat production, meanwhile, will jump 38% to 230 million bushels, according to the USDA. Well, flooding continues on the Red River of the North. That's not our Red River, I'm promising you. That's up north in Minnesota and in North Dakota. The river was about 50.85 feet, topping flood stage of 39 feet. So it's way above. In Fargo, the river is at 29 feet, which is, but it fell back to 25.2 feet last night, and flood stage is at 18. In southern Missouri, meanwhile, thunderstorms are possible early this morning. Wind gust was to top 60 miles an hour. Man, we did get some wind last night. You could, who was it? Oh, it was Tracy Brown Taylor last night. she showed the wind whipping across that burn area from the Berlin fire, and I mean the dirt was flying around there. But anyway, it is, speaking of Tracy, it's the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour today on the Today in Ag Show. And if you're watching on Facebook, you see my hat. Got it? Anyways, my Taylor Ranch hat. Taylor Ranch's entire operation is geared towards one thing, creating a great eating experience for their customers. They start by selecting the best carcass genetics available that enhance both flavor and tenderness. They are hands-on every day as they develop each calf so it will reach its full genetic potential. Then, they put the calves on feed, in some cases as many as 200 days. This optimizes and unlocks their full genetic potential and gives the customer that juicy, mouth-watering, memorable eating experience. Taylor Ranch develops every animal as if it was going to be served on their own table. Quarters, halves, and whole beef for sale. Third-party verified, all-natural, and hormone-free also available. That's Taylor Ranch Beef. 405-609-4662 to get your order in. And it's with what's going on in the world, I think it'd be entirely smart for you guys that haven't yet to buy your own beef, put in your own freezer, and go with it. And we've got more on that coming up. I got a deal from Drovers I want to read about on that. And plus, it's summer. It's barbecue season. Get that beef ordered. Get it in the freezer so you can enjoy some great barbecuing outdoors this summer. So I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
XIT Auctions will be selling 400 acres of good Kiowa County land Thursday, June the 2nd in Hobart, Oklahoma. The auction will be conducted at the Women's Exhibit Building, selling 400 acres and three tracts. These are located 6 miles north of Lone Wolf, Oklahoma on County Road 2090. For more information on this auction or to talk about your auction, call me, Aubrey Latham, 580-393-4440, or check us out on the web at xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living. That's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually rang him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets. He took them and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He come back to the office, was signed all the papers and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes, good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I forgot that Bandy Silk's now on one of the commercials. I'm so glad that he's so more laid back and more of a gentleman than his dad. You guys wouldn't believe the sign language I just got from Brian Silk on the text line here. Anyway, here's some of the reports on the rain. This comes from Benson. 3 drops per foot. I don't know if that's square foot or lineal foot, but we'll just go with per foot. That's not much. And then Brad Snyder from Clinton, he said it's pretty bad when you take a direct hit from the storm and get less than a tenth. So he must have got a lot of rain. And then that was from Bill Dance there. And then Mr. Roy Hunt, he texts in, he got 4 tenths. So anyway, that was a good rain, Roy. That's almost a half inch. Anyway, so we got that. So what else is there? Let's do the weather real quick. Update it. Refresh. Still same. 87 degrees. Humidity's dropped down to 39%. Wind is out east, 6 miles an hour. The gust up to 11. Heat index is 87. Like I said, we got a 20% chance of rain tonight. That wasn't in the forecast yesterday. So anyway, things are coming around. And I'm just going to give you a heads up a little bit on the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. 69 now is projected the high Saturday. So that's going to be a good tomato planting day. And anyway, I got a backup on the text of 3 drops per foot. It's square foot, not lineal foot. Anyway, yesterday I had Spencer Smith in from 4 Ag Products in here. And anyway, we were talking about weights and stuff, and he was talking about his little tool that he uses to check out compaction in the soil. Anyway, we were talking about a CS690 cotton stripper, and he had a little bit of fake news on the weight. I'm just kidding you, Spencer. Anyway, so the CS690 cotton stripper is 70,000 pounds loaded. 62,000 pounds on an 8-row is unloaded. That's 33.5 tons when she's got going. So anyway, it wasn't 6.5 tons. It was 62. Is that right? Yeah, 62,000 pounds. Anyway, it's 33.5 tons when she's fully loaded and ready to go. So those cotton strippers, those balers, I call them, cotton balers, they're pretty heavy. And I figured they was. Them big old machines. You got basically 2 bales in there sometimes at the same time going. So anyway, it's all good there. We got that fixed. Where do we want to go from here? Let's go to hay stocks. Not looking good, gentlemen. The hay stocks have dropped 7%, and so off my Hay and Forage Grower website, it's saying hold on for a wild ride, and I believe it, because I'm going to go over some of the trends that I've seen that on this chart that was in 2010, and we all know what happened 2010, 11, 12, and 13, and we haven't recovered those hay stocks yet. So let's talk about some hay real quick. The amount of hay in the U.S. hay mow continues to shrink, and it's down another 7% from a year ago. Compared to May 1st of 2020, the inventory is down 18%, or 3.7 million tons. That don't sound like much, but that's a lot. That's a lot of semi-loads. Based on the USDA's crop production report released last week, May 1st, hay stocks dropped by 1.2 million tons from a year ago. This follows the 12% decline in May stocks from 2020 to 2021. Hay stocks currently stand at a little over 16.7 million tons. This past December, year over year, hay stocks declined by 5 million tons. At 16.7 million tons, May 1st hay stocks are slightly above 2018 and 2019 inventories, but are far below the 2015 to 2017 hay stocks. Some of the largest hay producing states, especially in the West and Northern Plains, have significantly year-over-year May 1 stock declines, and with some of the largest declines to include Montana is down 54%, South Dakota is down 50%, Arizona is down 50%, Oklahoma is down 48%, and North Dakota is down 45%, and Nevada down 42%, and Virginia is even down 42%. There are some major hay-producing states with significant inventory gains, and this is Colorado. It's up 152%. I don't know how that could be. They're in a worse drought than we are, and we're in a bad one. New York's up 90%. Ohio's up 71%. Utah's up 71%. Iowa up 67%. Indiana is up 60%. So if you need some hay, I guess you need to check out one of those states if you can't find any around here. Well, just check out some of the local states adjoining Oklahoma on hay stocks. Let's try Kansas. It's down 26%. Missouri is down. Nope, Missouri's up 10%. I'm checking this out. It's small print, so bear with me. We're down 48% here in Oklahoma. Texas is up 33%. And I wanted to do Nebraska. Where's it at? It's up 25%. So anyway, there's your hay stocks on that deal. Hay disappearance, primarily feeding between December 1, 2021 and May 1st, 2022, totaled just over 62.2 million tons. That was about 4 million tons lower than last year. And this is the chart that got my attention. So in 2001, basically all the way up to 2011, there was an average of anywhere from 75 to almost 90 million tons in hay stocks, always. Starting in 2011, and we remember what happened in 2011, the big drought, which started in 2010 around here, but the stocks started declining. 2013, there was just a little over 60 million, kind of like right now. And then 2014, 15, 16, and 17, we bumped back up in the 70 million range. And then after 18, we've been on a steady decline. That's why we're 20, 30 million tons different in hay stock. Prior to the 2012 drought, disappearance from hay barns and stacks were always around that 80 to 85, like I said. But since then, it's been rare to have a year where disappearance exceeded 70 million tons. So to look ahead, the current hay stock numbers are just one of the many reasons that strong prices will be here during 2022. And I think they'll be here again next year. I don't see these. I mean, I know chemicals and fertilizers have come down just a hair, but not enough. Not enough to make difference. Hay prices are already $80 to $150 per ton higher than they was last year. How much higher prices can go before buyers reach their limit remains to be seen. Drought conditions continue to haunt many U.S. regions, including right here. The situation could improve, or it might get worse, but will ultimately have a big impact on the direction of hay prices and availability. If anybody's got been selling out any hay that they don't report to the USDA and they want to text me what you've been getting for your hay so far that was made this year, not last year's hay. I've heard wheat hay going for $120 a bale, not a ton, but a bale already. And I mean, it was going to happen. I mean, with these input prices, farmers can't sit there and sell for $60 a bale when they got $100 to $120 a bale in it. So anyway, that's one of the things. Second, hay markets are largely a regional phenomenon. And a guy made a good point to me yesterday. He said, you know, he said people are going to hold off on maybe buying some hay right now if they can. Just because, you know, you get back over east here in Oklahoma, in the eastern half, I call it east of I-35, you know, they've been getting rains and they're probably making some good grass hay and stuff. Now, whether they'll take advantage of the market and sell hay for a ridiculous price over there, but even if they're getting rain over there, remember, their input costs are just the same as ours is over here. Should be anyway somewhere in the same area, but hopefully they sell it at what they have to make a profit, but not to take advantage of farmers and ranchers out here in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle that need hay because we're not making any. But I know one thing, there's a lot of hay forage going in the ground right now. And sorghum, stuff like that. Peanuts are going in the ground. Cotton's going in the ground. And I have a deal on cotton. I was talking, I've been wondering about these strong prices, and I got a report this morning about it. Gary Crawford's got this report, and I'm going to see if I can get her to play here, and we'll go from there. But across the southeast and in some parts in Texas and southern Oklahoma, the planting of the 2022 cotton crop is moving along just like normal. And while some cotton growers in other areas of the country have been struggling to plant the new crop, Gary reports this year's cotton crop has a pretty good outlook on it when it comes to price.
U.S. cotton growers reportedly intended to plant over 12 million acres to cotton this spring, but because of drought and other problems, looks like they will only get to harvest a crop on a bit over 9 million acres, so a lot of abandonment expected.
About double the level as it was last year.
And so USDA Outlook Chairman Mark Chekanowski says we'll probably end up with a cotton crop of 16.5 million bales, a million below this last season. And with smaller supplies, we could see lower use of cotton from everything from domestic mills to exports. But we could also still see a drawdown in U.S. cotton stocks.
And prices remaining strong right now, record or near record high. Season average price for the 2021 crop, we raised to 92 cents per pound. And even though we have it coming down a tad in the new crop year at 90 cents a pound, that's still a very strong price.
A price producers should continue to see on through the harvest. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
There you go. Some good news for cotton farmers. If we get some rain around here and get some cotton going. Also, tomorrow, you don't want to miss out on tomorrow's show. I'm going to have some gentlemen in here from BioSure Grow, and we're going to talk about a microbial fertilizer. And Peyton Owens, Bill Strange, Willie Strange, and a farmer from Missouri, Wade Sprinkling, is going to be in here. We're going to talk about a fertilizer that's got a vitamin in it to put on alfalfa that actually is a type of really good insect control. Instead of spraying alfalfa for alfalfa weevils or even worms and stuff, and I found out about this through a listener of ours from up Cheyenne, Oklahoma. And they're going to be in the studio with me tomorrow, not on the phone, but they're going to be in the studio. So if you got alfalfa and you want to learn a little bit about some different types of stuff that you can apply on alfalfa and not have to spray an insecticide, please be sure and tune in tomorrow in the second segment tomorrow and find out what they got to talk about. Well, when I come back, we'll talk some cattle and peanuts. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 13th. 928 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 328 brought 197. 7 at 445 brought 193. 3 at 583 brought 149. 5 at 704 brought 151.50. 12 at 921 brought 113.75. 3 head of heifers at 208 brought 197. 4 at 419 brought 166. 3 at 538 brought 139. 5 at 550 brought 156. 4 at 766 brought 138.50. Butcher cows were 32 to 92. Butcher bulls brought 73 to 111. Bred cows were 675 to 1360. Pairs brought 275 to 1750. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC. Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
-87 degrees, heat index 87, humidity's 38%, the winds are out of the east, northeast now at 6 miles an hour. And I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you next segment towards the end of the show. So we'll see what's going to go on for the next 7 days. Peanut news. The peanut industry is working on collecting data from all their farmers so they can sell more peanuts. Peanut growers are now able to access the sustainable U.S. peanut incentive. It's a platform and program and available on your computer. The program run by the American Peanut Council will use this data voluntarily supplied by peanut growers who want to field their sustainability story or tell their story in the benefit of program learning. I would really like for Chad Ripto and Brian Silk to get in on this and talk about some of their stories. But anyway, Tyrone Spearman explains the different phases of this program and what the important purpose of this program is for peanut growers.
Well, the peanut industry is working on collecting data from all their farmers so that they can sell more. Peanut growers are now able to access the Sustainable U.S. Peanut Initiative. It's a platform and a program on your computer. The program, run by the American Peanut Council, will use this data voluntarily supplied by peanut growers who want to feel their sustainability story or tell their story. And the benefit from program learnings, growers can register for the platform now at www.sustainableuspeanuts.org. The first phase of this initiative by peanut growers is to develop a grower platform, which is actively recruiting growers to input their data for their 2021 peanut crop. The goal is to have 30 or more growers enrolled in the program and complete their 2001 crop information by April the 30th. Using the data supplied, the program hopes to not only tell a consumer facing sustainability story, but is centered on peanuts and also help growers drive farm improvements and profitability. Additionally, the initiative will produce tools to help our peanut industry communicate findings to consumers, to governments, trading partners, and other stakeholders. Resources are available on the website to better explain the program. So if you'd like to know more about that program, the U.S. Peanut Initiative on Sustainability, it's on www.sustainableuspeanuts.org. I'm Tyrone Spearman for Southeast AgNet.
I think Tyrone was having a bad allergy day on that recording, just like I have, but some days. Anyway, thanks, Tyrone. I got another report coming out to tomorrow from Tyrone on the government asking, they're asking the government to buy more peanuts to push the more use of people eating peanut butter or anything peanut butter, peanut products. Anyway, I know everybody's out there in full force planting peanuts, and good luck with it, and hopefully we get another shower tonight. My wife's telling me to smile on Facebook, I'm serious. I'm doing my job here. It's hard to smile unless I get some sign language from Bill Dance over in the Delhi area. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about a subject I've seen in Cow-Calf Corner and give you the results from the wheat tour up in northern Kansas, because northern Kansas, northwestern Kansas to be exact, has some of the best wheat available as of right now, and they were in the drought, but they wasn't in the worst part of the drought. So I'll give a proximity of what's going on in the wheat industry, and here we go. So I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale this Thursday, May the 19th. We're expecting 3,500 cattle to start the auction at 8 a.m. From Clinton, got 45 steers, neighbors 5 to 6. Woodford got 30 steers, neighbors 3.5 to 5. And Adarco got 135 steers, 8 to 9. Levy got 54, mixed 67. Slap South, 150 steers, 8.5 to 9. Goody Bowl, 232 steers, neighbors 5.5 to 8. Moreland got 88 steers, 8 to 9. May, 30 heifers at 8. Abilene, Texas, 78 mixed cattle, 6 to 750. McGargo, Texas, 109 steers, never 6 to 750. Shattuck, 119 steers, never 6.5 to 7.5. Levy got 78 steers, 8 to 950. Woodford, 46 steers, 8.5. Moreland, 181 steers, 9 to 1,000. Arnett got 128 heifers, 7 to 9. Moreland, 65 steers, 8.5. Byron, Oklahoma, 195 steers, 870. Again, we're expecting 3,500 cattle. We will start the auction at 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Heat index is at 88. Humidity is dropping. It's at 36, and the winds are still out of the east around 9 miles an hour. It looks like everybody was getting a little shower here and there. I haven't had any reports from Sweetwater yet. I hear rumors water was running down the roads down there. So, anyway, anybody from Sweetwater listening out there, give me a text on the KCO Ag Text line at 580-225-9697. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Today, 93, partly sunny. Tonight, 64 with a 20% chance of rain. Tomorrow, it's just going to be hot. 99 for a high. Friday, 88. It's going to cool off a little bit. Friday night, a little front hits, and it's going to be nice. 69 degrees with winds out of the north-northwest at 21 miles an hour. Sunday, 76. northeast winds also, 8 to 13. Isn't that crazy? The wind the other day was blowing out of the north, and it was still almost 100 degrees around here. I mean, you never know what you're going to get in Oklahoma. Well, this one gentleman, listen up, somebody's needing to do some repairs on their floors. This one gentleman texted in, and he has. He overbought some oak planks for his cattle trailer. So if anybody's needing to do some repairs, listen up. He has 4 2x12 by 12 foot long rough sawed oak planks and 1 2x12 by 6 foot long oak planks. So if you need to make some repairs on your trailer, these are brand new boards. He's got, what would that be? That would be 48 square feet, and then that would be somewhere in there. Anyway, 50, 60 square feet of 2x, and I'm guessing since these are rough sawed oak planks that they're 2 inches thick, the real 2 inches thick. So call this gentleman at our text at 580-660-07. 37. This is not Tradio. This is Aggio helping the gentleman out here that's a fellow ag man. And I know somebody out there has got to fix a hole in their cattle trailer somewhere. Anyway, 660-0737. Call him or text him. And he's got about 50, 60 square feet, 2x12 oak planks if you want some. There you go. Because I know somebody's always needing that. All right. Before I get to the wheat tour deal, let's do the sale from Woodward yesterday. Today, the Hobart Stockyards are having theirs. I'll have reports from them tomorrow. Tomorrow, Woodward will be having their weekly calf report, as you heard on the Jerry Nine saying earlier on the break. But yesterday, they had their cow sale, and looks like they had 745 head there. And that's compared to 477 head there last week. Breaker cows was ranging anywhere from $79.50 to $85.50. That was the highs. That was what they were bringing. The boner cows were bringing anywhere from $68 to $82. And then the lean cows were bringing anywhere from $68.50 up to $78.50. And the bulls were bringing up to, look like, anywhere from 85 to 104 to, there we go, 111.50. So the slaughter bulls are still doing pretty decent. And the cows aren't terrible. And if they're in the 80s, it's pretty decent. It's when they get down in the 50s and 60s, it's just not a good deal. Anyway, we got some bred cows. Let's see what these were. The medium and large number ones, 2 to 4 year olds, were bringing anywhere from $900 to $1,235. 5 to 8 year olds were bringing anywhere from $860 to $1,285. The bred cows, medium and large 1 to 2s, wasn't very many of them, but they were 5 to 8 years old and they were only bringing $800. Okay, cow-calf pairs. Medium and large number ones with 150 to 300 pound calves on them were bringing up to $1,400, and they were 5 to 8 year olds. And on the cow calf pairs with medium and large with 300 pound calves on them were bringing anywhere from $1,150 to $1,425 on cow calf pairs. So there's your report from the Woodward Livestock Auction yesterday on their weekly cow and bull sale. All right, let's get to the wheat tour. Interesting stuff here. It's arguably that day of day one of the 2022 wheat tour. And they're headed down towards Wichita today, I hear, which spanned northern Kansas from Manhattan to Colby. Basically, they were lazy. They just got off I-70 and toured some wheat. They didn't go off too far from I-70. I hunt a lot up in there, so I know that area really well. It's the best overall wheat crop in the state as of right now. In this case, the tour's 39.5 bushel per acre findings were based off of 248 field stops. It's nearly 20 bushels per acre lower than it was last year and the lowest yield since 2018. It's well off the five-year average of 46.9 bushels per acre. Yield estimates range from 0 to 82 bushels per acre. There are some areas of good wheat in north central and central Kansas that stands out. With good rain the last few weeks has really helped the grain field process. There's also a stretch of wheat in central Kansas counties that received rain and snow over the winter. But the wheat crop is very spotty, according to Janae Jones, Kansas State University multi-county agronomy specialist. According to the press release from Kansas Wheat, Jones said the crop was a week or two behind average about a month ago, but with hot temperatures lately is now about a week ahead of average. Mr. Lalato, if I said that right, K-State Wheat Extension Specialist, reported that yields vary greatly based on cropping system. Wheat after fallow looked better than the wheat after corn or soybeans. We saw wheat today that looked better than other fields, but comparing to last year, the yield potential is not nearly as good. We need to be thankful for the breeders that we have a crop this year. Genetics are playing an important part. Genetics will have a huge impact on baking quality and protein. He added, kernels are currently developing, so we can still get test weight if we get rain. Heat stress can hurt the test weights. If there's any good news from day one, it's that there were very little disease pressure. There hasn't been any reports of stripe rust in the area because of the lack of moisture. For the week ending May 15th, 2022, Kansas winter wheat condition rated 17% very poor, 24% poor, 35% fair, and 22% good, and 2% excellent. Kansas winter wheat joint was 93%, near 95% from last year. Head it was 60%, ahead of 54% last year, and near 58% for the five-year average. There you go. And they said that while in Colby, participants received winter wheat yield updates from neighboring states. They didn't have anything in there about Oklahoma, but Nebraska at 0.93 million acres planted, estimated average is going to be 41 bushels per acre yield, 21 last year in 2021. Actual yield was 41.16. So they're right in there where they was the year before. But in Colorado, 2.15 million acres were planted, estimated 28.6 bushel acre yield is going on. And last year, that's way below last year. So they were at 69.56 last year. So, man, that's a third of it. So, anyway, the 2022 wheat crop shows major damage from drought and heat stress. Northwest Kansas, in particular, was hard hit by drought and heat. Some areas were affected by the frost, according to tour participants. So, there you go. There's your deal on that. Enough of wheat. All right. One last thing here we got going on. Since it is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour, this is a good thing to talk about. Before the freezer, selecting the best calf with beef in mind. And I'm going to tell you what, Taylor Ranch is one of the better ones around here. Hey, and speaking of butchering, congratulations to Route 66, butcher over processing over in Sayre. Sorry about that, Bailey. Got the fumble mouth. Anyway, yesterday they were celebrating that they are now USDA approved processing at Route 66 there in Sayre, Oklahoma. As far as I know, they're the only one west of OKC. I might be wrong, and if I am, I will correct that. But they're the only one west of Oklahoma City all the way to Pecos, Texas, that is USDA approved. So anyway, congratulations to you guys for getting that done. So have you ever experienced a taste of home-raised beef? I have. And for those who choose to finish out their own beef and have it processed locally, they know where their beef comes from and how it was raised. And they know what it was to be fed from start to finish. But how does one begin defeating an animal? Also, what breeds are the best? Well, I can tell you right now, Holsteins aren't the best because they're big frame, but they don't have a lot of muscle on them. And there's a lot of people that eat Holstein cattle. But anyway, it's not one of the better ones. So starting with a breed, choose an animal based on genetic qualities can help you get started in the desired direction. Cattle breeds can be broken down by dairy production and beef production. While dairy cattle such as Holsteins are regularly fed out for their meat, it should be noted that these breeds may yield less overall consumable product and produce a smaller steak size. Beef breeds tend to provide more muscling capabilities, and will provide more finished cuttable product. When do you want to have this animal finished? It may depend on when you can get a date at the processor. Local locker space fill up quickly during the pandemic, and many still have wait lists or booked for several months in advance. And you got to keep that in mind. I get mine lined up 3 to 4 months in advance. This call in one day, needing to get it in the next day, it might happen, might have. Luckily, out here in western Oklahoma, in the eastern Texas Panhandle, we have lots of good processors, from Shamrock to Thomas to Altus to Weatherford, Burns Flat, Canute, Sayre. We got it going on out here, so surely you can get one in. But figuring out 3 pounds of gain per day and a 13 to 1,400 pound finishing weight, calculate to find the approximate weight of the calf should be started to reach that approximate weight according to the processing date. For example, if the processor appointment is made for 200 days from now with a daily gain of 3 pounds per day, the animal will gain approximately 600 pounds. Therefore, an animal weighing 700 to 800 pounds would be the reasonable starting weight. Choosing an animal to feed requires consideration of calf health. If possible, finding a calf from a local producer or keeping one from your herd allows you to know the whole health history of the animal. Buying an animal from livestock market is another option, but may increase the risk of disease as the animal co-mingles with other animals. Also, consider feeding a weaned calf. A long-term weaned calf over 45 days, for example, commonly has less health issues and will be bunk broke. When feeding the animal to 1,300 pounds, the calf structure is also important. Begin with the legs and feet of the calf. A feeder calf that is sound on its feet and legs should be straight up down from the front to the rear view, with all four hooves pointing towards or possess an even claw set. In other words, you want the front hooves to be straight, the back hooves to be straight. You don't want the guy that has his feet pointing at each other on the front and he's camel-toed on the back. That's what you don't want. I'm just kidding. Carcass grading. Frame sizes and width help determine the thriftiness of the animal in the standard grading system. Calves are categorized by small, medium, and our large frame size. A large frame market-ready steer will finish out around 1,300 to 1,400 pounds. Though large frame calves take longer to reach finishing weight, these animals will yield larger steaks and a greater amount of meat in the end of the article. Heifers will likely mature quicker and finish at a lighter weight than steers, and it's true. But I like to butcher heifers, and one reason why is heifers cost less if you were selling them or buying them. They cost less than a steer. So if you're picking one out of your own herd to butcher, think about that. This heifer here at a 600-700 pounds might bring $1.30 or $1.10. A 600-700 pound steer might bring $1.70, $1.80. That don't sound like much, but do the math. That's quite a bit of money difference. So anyway, think about that. Yes, you're taking the females out of the breeding herd, but hey, if you were going to eat her anyway, you wasn't going to breed her. So anyway, feeding a calf is an investment. Buying the animal, feed costs, processing fees, and the time invested add up really quickly. That's why I always say, just go ahead and buy one. We have plenty of guys around here. And today, it's the Taylor Ranch. Happy Cap Hour going on here. Give Jimmy a call out there. Just buy one ready to process from him. They book out way down the road just like anybody else does that are feeding them. But Taylor Ranch has some of the best beef, if not the best beef, in western Oklahoma. So there we have it. if you want to feed one out, get you some. But it just, I think it's just as easy to go buy one from somebody like the Taylor Ranch and get a processing date set up. But keep in mind, you need to do this at least 60 to 90 days in advance, at least. Anyway, some of the best beef, they've already got it figured out. Jimmy and Tracy already got out, figured out what they need to feed to get the best, because I'm guarantee you, most of their, if not all of it, is all prime. So anyway, there we have it. Got one more text to check out. Here we go. Whoa, nice bull. Somebody sent me a picture of the bull. So anyway, you guys have a great day. Keep planting those nuts, guys. Get them in the ground. We got a rain coming tonight. Be just right to get them things sprouted and up in a few days. Anyway, it's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.